today's scripture.
Today's scripture is from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 5 through 11. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, "My father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we are thankful for your word, and we are thankful that it's always like a fresh glass of water that comes and refreshes our spirit. Allow us today to receive that, and through that, find strength in you and find meaning in our life. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you are from the current service, we're glad you're here. It means that you didn't move your clock, and that's okay. We welcome everyone in this place. And thank you for those who are on time. It means that you guys remember to change your clocks and give me five for that. I appreciate that. If you see any person coming at the end of this service to this service, redirect them to the ministry center. We have a service at 111, and we'll be very happy to receive them in that place, okay? So also another thing I wanted to let you know, you probably noticed if you are kind of the persons who follow bulletins, there has been some changes in our bulletin. We are trying to explore ways of trying to have this experience of worship in the best way we can. So we're just exploring with new things, and we're praying that this will help us in the flow of service in a better way. But this is also a very special Sunday. This is our first Sunday of Lent. And many times we can hear that word, and it kind of comes connected with a sense of sorrow and sadness. But what it's true, we remember those 40 days about when we come to the place of that Holy Week, we also take this time as a place where we can check, kind of make a self-check of our lives in our connection with God. We all somehow sometimes are disconnected, or sometimes we are trying to find meaning in ourselves. But one of the beautiful things also that we remember is while we are in that process, we also rely on the truth that God is already looking for us, pursuing us, trying to find where we are and brings us back. And that's one of the things we're going to be talking about during this Lent season. What is helping me to come back and return? That's a very important topic for the entire scripture. As you probably remember, long ago, we talk about the different prophets. And one of them, the very first minor prophet, his name is Hosea. That one, you know, it's a very powerful story, at the same time very difficult. It is this prophet who is really giving his life to live with this woman. But according to the scripture, was she a good woman? How was she? She was a prostitute. So she will constantly be leaving him, going around with other men. But the scripture says how God was using the story with the prophet, and the prophet needed to come back and bring her back to him. That is the story of God with us. There are many times where we're wandering around and trying to find and look for other alternatives, but we find God always with his love, trying to look where we are and bringing us back to him. That's the story of God with us. And maybe what is happening is during our life, we're trying to answer this question. To whom or to what do I look in order to know that I am loved or that my life has meaning? Just think about that for a moment. Who is that person or situation that makes you feel that your life has a meaning? And you see, there are many options that they will come to us. We like it or not, they will come to us. And some of them are kind of scary. I'm concerned of what Celeste says in this place. She says, sometimes we take the wrong priorities. Our financial security, our lust for approval or recognition, our preoccupation with our bodies, an addictive relationship, even a distorted image of our family put on a pedestal, we become what we worship. That's dangerous, guys, because some of them sound good. We say, you know, I'm just doing what everyone is doing. I'm trying to put money in my family, or my family is the best. But I'm not telling you that that's wrong, but are they their main priority? Are they the ones who guide who you are and who defines who you are? But you see, God gives us an answer. How can I get out of that system? How can I step out and be more focused on what's really important? And the scripture brings this word to all of us: remember. Now, remember in the Bible is not like what we talk right now about remember. It's not like when I need to go and do shopping, I need to remember what I need to shop. 5 pounds of coffee and everything else. That's kind of what I shop. That's not the kind of remembering that is talking in the scripture. Whenever we talk about remembering in the scripture, it means almost like a process of a covenant where God is there also showing to you that he's remembering, he's connecting with you. You are there with God, and together you come to an action. Every time that you hear in the scripture, remember, it brings an action. Remember also when we see in the New Testament, when Jesus is doing the sacrament of communion and he says, do this in what? In remembrance of me. There was an action happening. It was God, Jesus Christ, giving his life for you and for me. We accepting that sacrifice, and then through that, we become the body of Christ and the church. There is an action in that. This is a very important word that I'm going to even teach it to you in Spanish. Acuérdate. Okay, don't read it. Close your eyes, because if you see it, you're going to try to pronounce it like if it is in English. So just say it after me. Acuérdate. Acuérdate. Okay, now you can open your eyes. Don't fall asleep, because with the change of time, maybe you're going to take a nap. Acuérdate. Remember. Now, it's important too that we remember who we are in God, because there is something that I was concerned when I read this that Mr. Brian Jones, a pastor, wrote. He says, when we and is replaced by another self, the self produced by competing cultural stories. You see that? It is like instead of me trusting in who I am in God and who God is, I start trusting in other things. And there are constantly many things that are going to be competing to take that place in your life. You want it or not. And it comes by how much time do you take listening to those stories or being in connection with those stories instead of connecting with what is God telling me who I am. So we need to be careful with that. That's why God is saying you need to remember and how you do that. And that's the scripture that we read today. The scripture is in the book of Deuteronomy. After 7 years of being your pastor, now I can say Deuteronomy. I am so happy. You see, there are miracles happening, I like, with the sign language. Yay, I made it. Thank you, Jesus. So, in Deuteronomy, one of the things that we learn is precisely Moses talking to the people of Israel and helping them in the process of going to the promised land and telling them, when you get into this promised land, you're going to need to do a lot of remembering. You're going to need to remember so that you can keep connected with God. You remember the definition you have through God. But at the same time, you act under the power of knowing what it means to be the people of God. So what he tells them is, you're going to do this celebration of the first fruits. And he says, then you shall declare before the Lord your God. Having those first fruits, it was a tangible way where they could touch literally that God has been there with them. So they testify. And they testify the way God has been moving in history with them. It starts, first of all, when it says on Deuteronomy 26, my father was a wandering Aramean. Some people say that's Abraham. Other one says it's Jacob. But what it's talking about is how God has been there since the very beginning when he asked and gave that promise. And he said, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. So God fulfilled his plan. And that's why many times when we see in the scripture in the Old Testament, have you read this where it says, God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and have you noticed that happening a lot? It's not that suddenly God had a last name. It's more about God saying, as I have been faithful with the covenant with Abraham, I was faithful with the covenant with Isaac, and I was faithful with the covenant with Jacob. So what it's showing to you is I have been there with you the whole time. So this gives us an assurance of his presence with us. Then after that, they remember too, we have gone through difficult times. Because as you remember in the scripture, we read when during the time of Egypt, there were slaves. And the scripture says, then we cry out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard her voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. This is a powerful place. You have this mighty God, creator of everything that we see, but he still has the capacity to hear you and to see you. Isn't that beautiful? That you know that God can do that for you and for your own story. And we find the people of Israel being able to know that when they claim, they pray and they shout to God, God listen. And perhaps it was not that God wasn't aware of their need. It was more from their side, learning to depend on God. Isn't that our story too? Many times we're looking for God to answer. And we are complaining and we're trying to say, you know, things are not going well. But could it be there is more that God has been available there, but we are not bringing that need before God. We are not listening of how he's the one responding and how he's guiding. But besides that also, we remember how he also fulfilled his promise till the end. The scripture says, so the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. You hid with great terror and with signs and wonders. God fulfilled his promise. So when you hear that, and what the intention was through that celebration is that at the end of saying all this story, they will come to this conclusion. God is faithful and God is present. And my brothers and sisters, we hear many stories. We accept influence of many places. But today, I pray that this is the influence that you carry with your life all the time. Carry the fact that you know that God is faithful, that what God has promised to all of us, and he promised to give us a life and a life eternal in abundance, is a promise that he will fulfill. And God is present. God is walking with you and with me. Perhaps this is one of the biggest gifts that we have received from God, to know that in those moments of joy, he is there. To know that in the moments of pain, he is there. To know that when we need to take decisions that are difficult, he is there. To know that he's available in the moments when we're looking for guidance, he is there. In those moments when we say, God, how amazing this day has been, he is there. He is present. And it's not just in a passive way. He's there connecting with you in covenant, remembering. And you know, this has been the story of this church. God has been faithful to Northern Hills, isn't it? And he has been present. And this is not for us to be snob. This is just a way to proclaim how God has been with us. If you know the story, actually, we are a child of Travis Park United Methodist Church. You didn't know that? Travis Park, one time, who are here, who have been here for more than 30 years? 40 years. Okay, this church is 43 years old. It's not old because I'm 46, so that's not old. So it's getting in flavor. We're spicy. But anyway, so this church started in Travis Park, and there were a group of people there who said, there is a need of a church at the northeast of San Antonio. We're going to pray about that, and we're sending it to start this church. And it started actually in a movie theater. I heard that story. Is that true? or something like that first. And after they were there for a little bit, then they moved to was the very first location that was in Higgins Road. And if any of you have gone by the Brighton Center next to Northern Hills Elementary School, that was the church for the longest time. I love that through that time, you could see that one intention in that building was that they wanted to have accessibility for many classrooms so people could learn more about God's word. But then there was the point when they realized, we're doing great here, but God is calling us to step in faith and go to another place so we can reach out and be more accessible for more people. And in that moment, they took a step of faith and they moved to that present location here. And while they were here, they also had the opportunity when they built this place, this was the only sanctuary they had. Later on, they built the sanctuary where now we have the traditional people. That was another step of faith. And you see, God has kept Northern Hills and those kind of steps that sometimes more than steps look like big walking in there, because then we end with the ministry center. And that was another step of faith. And one of the things I can tell you, has everything been easy, smooth, no problem or complaints? If somebody's telling you that, it's a liar, because it's not true. There has been moments of ups and downs. We have done excellent mistakes. We have done things that we were like, okay, this is pretty crazy, but that's where we feel God is going. Not always we have agreed, but in the midst of that, we have seen God faithful with us. And you know why? I think this comes by talking to Pastor Milton. Here is Pastor Milton, and I was asking him, tell me the secrets of being a good senior pastor. And the first thing he told me was his socks, because they are from UK basketball team, right? The Wildcats. So he was showing to me, and he was so proud of showing me those socks. But perhaps the most important thing that I always hear Pastor Milton saying since the very first time I met him 7 years ago is that he says, we are grounding our congregation in this truth of Jeremiah that says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. That's where this church has been able to anchor. And you know, this is the place where you and I can anchor to. There are many times in our lives where God is going to call us to take a step of faith. And when we talk about a step of faith, it means you do not know how things are going to end. That ain't why we have faith. You see, I have this conversation with God, so I'm going to encourage you not to do my excellent mistake. The whole time I keep thinking, the more I grow in faith, the more I'm going to know ahead what's happening. But what's the reality? The opposite. The more you say, you know, I'm getting better, I'm growing, okay, God, you know, I'm gaining momentum here, I'm going to know what's happening in my next 5 years, I don't know what's happening next day. And then here comes God and changes my day, and for an ISTJ in Meyer Briggs, that is horrible. Like, God, you just changed my schedule. What's wrong with you? I mean, this is not going to work in here. But he does that so we don't depend on the schedule or in the way we have our own system, but that we learn to depend on the Holy Spirit. Every time that we fail, we found the formula, he changes the plan. Why? Again, we depend on him. But the beautiful thing is he is very clear for what reason. For hope and for a future. Guys, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a future. Our lives do not end here. Sin does not conquer you. We have a future. And that's called eternal life in Christ. But you know, that's the way where Satan attacks us. Satan will make you feel there is no future. He will come and try to tell you, you know, your sin is too big. I don't think God can carry that. And then he comes and tells you, you know, that they are calling you to do something else, but I don't know you're capable to do that. And you see, on those moments, you have all the authority from God and permission from your pastor to tell to Satan, shut up. That's it. With a Mexican accent, even. That's even better. Shut up. How do you say shut up in Korean? Say it like that. Go, girl. Say it again. You say, if that talk. Sort of. You know? You said, do not have a conversation with the enemy ever in your life. You say, I am not going to listen to you. Because that's not what God is telling me. God is telling me to remember God's words, not to have a conversation with the enemy. Remember that God has been faithful. Remember that His presence is there. Remember that the Holy Spirit is holding your hand, guiding you day by day. And rely on that truth and accept His hope. That's where we walk. But you see, this is not just for us to keep with us. There is another purpose in this. And what God is calling us to do is to learn to rejoice. That's a gift that just Christian people can have. Rejoice. In the Old Testament, we read, so you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house. Has God has been good to you? Can you say, you know, yeah, we have had very difficult times, but God is telling me to rejoice. We even find that in Philippians. The Lord tells us, rejoice just when things are happy. No. Rejoice always. Always. And while you rejoice, you also remember. Remember that the peace of God that goes beyond understanding is there, accessible for you and for me. So when you have the capacity to remember and then to rejoice, there is that effect that happens with remembering. We can do something. We can serve. This is why we're capable in this church to serve, because of that connection of remembering who we are in the Lord. Look, in the Old Testament, in this book, in Deuteronomy, we read this after just the verses that we read at the beginning. When you have finished setting aside a tenth of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levite, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widows, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. So after you remember, you act intentionally, hands-on, in showing how God can make a difference. And in this case, it was, collect all of these things. And no, you're not going to give it this to the priest. You're going to give it to those in need. So through that, you maintain a system of being everyone in that place to have the capacity of living a good life. I love what a missionary mentioned. He says, in a world that demands service, we position ourselves, how? As servants. We are capable, as the body of Christ, as the church, to serve. And when we serve, what do? We remember. We remember who we are in Christ. We remember God's faithfulness. And we share that truth to the world. So I invite you where you are, or if you want to come to the altar, just close your eyes, or do what helps you to come to a place of prayer. And just remember. Remember. Remember those moments when you have seen how God literally pushed you out of a place of brokenness and gave you hope. Just remember when God's prevenient grace captured you and took you to a place of healing. Remember that time when you were able to say, Lord, forgive my sins, and you felt like you lost 20 pounds. Remember those moments when you brought to the Lord something that you felt ashamed, and He brought you meaning and light. So for those moments, in this moment, tell the Lord, thank you. Thank you, God, and I remember. I remember that your presence is with us. I remember that you told me that you will be present with us in every single experience that we live. I remember that my problems are a lot smaller than your power. I remember, God, that your grace is sufficient. But I also remember, God, that you're calling me to grow. But I remember that in this process of growth, you call the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit guide us step by step. I also remember, God, that our lives can be used in amazing, crazy, wild ways when we step on faith and we allow you to take us to those new places. Lord, in this moment, we pray that remembering you will be stronger than any lie that the enemy will try to do against us. And we pray that as we remember, give us the strength to share to others the hope that comes through knowing that in your hands we can live our future. And we pray all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.